are listening to a sermon from Christ Church, a multi-site church in southwest Louisiana. Christ Church is a distinctly biblical, ever-multiplying, economically and ethnically diverse covenantal community calling Acadiana to follow all of Christ in all of life. To hear more from Christ Church, you can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit us on the web at wearechristchurch.com.
If you can, please turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians 2. This is the one here. Ephesians 2. How's everyone doing this morning? Chirp. Everybody's all right? Okay, good. Amen. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 22. We're going to be looking at the very last few verses of chapter 2. And as you turn with me, I want to start off by asking you a question. I always do this, but I figured I'd prepare you a little bit. And this may seem like a really off-the-wall question, but believe me, it ties in, so bear with me. Have you ever seen grass grow? Have you ever seen grass grow? Now, in South Louisiana, you could almost say yes to that question. Grass grows so fast during the summertime that you can almost say it grows. But I'm pretty sure each and every one of you would say no to that question, that you haven't seen it grow. So how do you know if it grows or not? What's that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, if you mow the grass on Monday, like I do, I try to mow the grass every Monday morning, and I mow, and then that afternoon it rains, since it's summertime. It always rains in the afternoon around here, so it seems. It rains, and then Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon, you go back outside and look at your grass. Looks a little bit taller than the last time you saw it. A little bit taller than the day before, right? So how do we know that grass grows? Because we've seen that it has grown, right? There's evidence that it has grown. Now, I have three little kids and one on the way, and I'm amazed at how big my oldest is getting. You know, I used to be able to hold my little one in my arms so easily. You know, now she's this tall. You know, how'd that happen? You know, I can't say that I've literally seen her grow, right? Why not? Because she grows so slowly and so incrementally that it's impossible for me to see her grow. But I do know that she has grown, right? Why? Because she's taller. It's evident, right? Now, God is here in this world growing things. He's growing things. God's, of course, He's working in the world. He's convicting the world of sin. The gospel is moving forward through his people, and He is, in essence, growing His kingdom here on earth. Another way to say it is He is building His kingdom. Amen? But how often are we tempted to doubt that? Sometimes we think that God really isn't building anything. You know, we think, God, are you really building your kingdom on earth? Your word says it is, right? Your word says that you're growing your kingdom. But I see so much opposition to you in this world. And by that evidence alone, it certainly doesn't seem like you're growing anything or gaining any ground in this world. But little do we know, there's a lot of growing that God does. And the growing that He does happens over the ages, over long scopes of time, hundreds and thousands of years. And we only catch a small glimpse of the growth in our puny little lifetimes. But we're assured in the Bible, we're assured in many places that God builds and does His work, just as we're assured that the grass grows. Amen. But sometimes when we look at God's kingdom in the world, we stare at the yard and stare at the yard, and you don't see anything changing. You don't see any visible evidence that God is doing anything in His kingdom. But what I want to do this morning is I want to assure you once again, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, God is growing something. God is not detached from this earth. God is active. He is moving. He is working in this world. He's working in our hearts. Amen? And He's building something. And right here in Ephesians 2, God gives us evidence of what He's growing in the world. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Amen. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You see, he's growing something. We can see it in the text. And just like the grass, we can see that he's growing something by what has been grown already. In other words, he's building something. And here, God tells us through Paul what he is building. Amen? And we can see that evidence, just like the grass. We can see that evidence of what he is building by what he has built already. Amen? Now, verse 20 tells us what he's built. God has built a foundation. A foundation. You see that? Built on the foundation. Now, what's a foundation? Well, when you're building a house or any kind of building, the foundation is always the first thing that gets built, right? And the size of the foundation slab, of course, it determines the shape and the size of the structure that's going to be built on top of it, right? You know, how many of you have seen a beautiful home lately, passing by it, and man, such a gorgeous house, a gorgeous structure, you know? And whenever you do that, how many of you say, wow, that house must have a beautiful foundation? None of you, unless you're kind of weird like I am, you probably say no. I don't really pay much attention to the foundation. We assume it's there, but we're looking at the structure. We think the structure is beautiful. We never really get caught up in the technical aspects of how the house is built, right? We're not usually looking at or paying any attention to the foundation that that structure sits on, right? I mean, think about it. It's a dull piece of concrete. That's all it is. It's just a slab. But I'm sure you know at the same time that without a good foundation, in the long run anyway, you're not going to have a very beautiful home. It's going to start falling apart, doing all kinds of weird things, you know. A foundation is super important. Amen? But the foundation at the same time often goes unnoticed and is often underappreciated. And it's often the hardest part of the house to build, especially with these unsettling soils of South Louisiana. It's very hard to build a foundation. And for those of you who's worked construction in here? I've had a brief period of construction work, not too long, you know, but for any of you who have worked construction, you know how hard it is to build a foundation, right? It's dirty work. You're working in the dirt. You know, it's back-breaking labor. And the same thing is true for the foundation that God has built. You know, it may not look that impressive, this foundation. And God's foundation may often go unnoticed, but I assure you this morning, thousands of hours went into building this foundation, God's foundation. Countless deaths have gone into building this foundation. Gallons and gallons of blood, sweat, and tears have gone into this foundation. And the world, of course, looks at this foundation and says, what's the big deal? Who cares? That's not impressive. But they have no idea. They have no idea. They don't know how absolutely essential this foundation really is. And nonetheless, no matter if it's appreciated or not, we know that this foundation, us Christians know this foundation is here to stay. Amen? It can't be uprooted. It's still holding strong. What's that foundation I'm speaking about? What is the foundation that God has built? It's the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. What's that mean? Well, the prophets is a brief way to refer to the Old Testament. God's foundation, God's structure. And of course, today we can see the evidence of that foundation with your physical eyes because of what you hold in your hands. The Bible. This is the foundation. This is the summation of the prophets and the apostles. Right here in this book. This is the foundation. This is the product of the foundation. Amen? This right here often goes unnoticed, often is underappreciated, even by many Christians. But without this, God's structure would not stand. This is the structure. This is what the structure is built upon. Amen? Look again at verse 20 with me. Verse 20 says that he has also built a cornerstone. And what is that cornerstone? Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, the meaning of a foundation hasn't changed too much over the years. A foundation then is still pretty much a foundation now, right? But the idea of a cornerstone might be foreign to some of us, right? What's that? What's a cornerstone? Well, it's what the name implies, right? It's the stone that forms the base of a corner of a building that joins two walls. The very bottom stone. That the cornerstone is what sets the angle of a building's walls. And you can see that Christ here is the cornerstone, that stone that forms the sides and the angles of the wall, the structure that God has built. See, Christ has set the angles of this structure. Christ sets the boundaries and the walls of the church. And of course, the apostles and the prophets are in line with him. And he exercises his authority through the apostles and prophets. But he is the one that sets the dimensions and the life and existence of the church. That means that there are no bishops. There are no popes. There are no decrees. There are no councils that set these boundaries. It is only Christ, because he is the cornerstone. Amen? Christ is the cornerstone of the church. What else is the structure made out of? So far we have the foundation, cornerstone. What else is there? Look back with me at verse 19 for a moment. It says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation. It's you. It's you. You are the stones. The stones, the structure is us. You see that? It's the church. These are the stones that the structure of God is made out of. It's both Jews, it's both Gentiles, united as one structure to the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. It's incredible. Can you see the gloriousness of that truth? It's awesome. That should cause us to leap and praise God in joy for what he has done. I mean, think about this in light of the rest of Ephesians. What's the beginning of chapter 2 say? You were dead in your trespasses and sins. In other words, you were stones buried deep in the mines and the quarries of darkness. You were in a cave buried deep in the earth in some foreign land. But God has chosen you. God knew where you were, knew that you were buried in darkness with no hope. And what did he do? He excavated you out and chiseled you and formed you and transported you to the construction site. Amen? And he put you on top and in between the other stones that he has chosen. You are all, if you're a Christian this morning, you have been chosen. You are a chosen stone. All along when you were dead and buried in the foreign dark caves of the earth, He, before the foundation of the world, had a perfect spot in mind for you in His glorious structure. Man, thank you, God, for digging me out. Amen? Thank you, Father, for rescuing me out of darkness and bringing me into your marvelous light to be used to help support this grand, glorious structure that you have built. Thank you, Father. Man, such a privilege to serve God. Amen? Guys, you're chosen. You are now living stones, formed and stacked together for a purpose, all to the glory of God. Amen? All to show off what He has built. Can you see that? You have to use your imaginations a little bit for this. Can you see it? Can you see it in your minds? Can you see what God has built? Can you see the foundation, which is the Scriptures? Can you see the cornerstone, that's Christ? Can you see the stones that have been extracted from all the nations and brought together and stacked together to build this glorious structure? Can you see it? Amen? Nod your head if you're with me. Can you see the church in its beauty? It's there. I hope you can see it. I hope so. I hope you can see that God is building something because we can see what He has already built thus far. But why would He build it? What's the point? Why build this structure? Well, to find that out, we got to go to verse 21. Let's go there. It says, in whom the whole structure, look at these next three words, being joined together. Wow. Being joined together. This is present tense. That means this is happening now. Being joined together. So not only has God built something, He's still building something. How? He's joining the stones together. What's this mean? Well, think of God as a master builder for a moment. Think of Him as a master mason. Mason is someone who works with stones and brick and these types of things. And God has all these stones that He's quarried and He's dug out of the earth. And He's putting them all together. Now, how many of you know there's no stone that, like, fits exactly against another stone? That's a pretty rare thing, right? Well, to make the structure fit, what does the mason have to do? Just to grab his hammer, start chiseling that stone, and start pushing that stone together against the other stone. Now, think about that in your Christian life for a moment. How many of you thought it would be easy to follow Christ when you first started out on this journey? I was under that misconception. But it's not so easy. It's not so easy to be chiseled and chipped away and shaped and pushed together against other stones. It's not easy to be a Christian. We're constantly being refined. We're constantly being reformed into the image of God's Son. It's not an easy process. Amen? It's not easy. Jesus said that the road to hell is broad and easy, but the narrow way is hard. It's not easy being a Christian. There's a price to pay. And believe me, in Christ Church Abbeville, many, many of us are feeling the chisel of the hammer right now. We're feeling it. But in spite of that, I want to assure you of something. That you are being fitted, not for nothing. You're being fitted to be a stone put into God's structure. That's happening. It's being joined together. It's a present tense. That's now. Amen. Isn't that a source of encouragement? I hope so. I hope so. Let's look further down at verse 21. It says, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows. There's the word, grows. It's also present tense. Just like the grass grows, just like my daughter grows, God is building His structure and it grows. How's it growing? Well, the mortar that holds these bricks together is not dry yet. It's not dry yet. He's still working. He's still adding more and more and more stones. Amen? The foundation's laid, the cornerstone of Christ is set in place, and the stones are being stacked, and the structure gets taller and taller, growing and growing, even when we don't think it is. Right? I mean, think about us. We've seen visitors come and go from Christ Church Abbeville, at least from the time I've been here. Right? And none of them have really stuck. In our small little world, it would be easy for us to think that God is not growing anything in our neck of the woods. It's easy to think that. But I assure you, in spite of what you see, in spite of what you see in front of your eyes, God is building His structure. I mean, think about other parts of the United States for a moment. Think about China. Man, the Lord is taking China by storm right now. Man, there's so many men and women and children that are coming to Christ, even in the midst of the persecution that's going on in China. God is adding stones. He's doing it. Even if it's not in our neck of the wood and it's not in our field of vision, He's doing it. Amen? And I know He's chiseling some of you. And I know that we are growing. We may not be growing numerically, but we are growing in many other ways. Because I've talked to you. I'm your pastor. I've talked to you. I've heard what's going on in your lives. And I know some of you in this moment are in a season of being heavily chiseled and heavily shaped and formed by God. Because I can see it, because some of you are growing spiritually and it's evident. And that's encouraging to me. Amen. Don't think for a second that God is not at work here at Christ Church. But at the same time, we've got to make ourselves ready and available for more chiseling and for more forming and more shaping. We must be fitted more securely next to the other stones that are next to us. Amen? And that's where community comes in. That's why we have community groups. That's what it's for. That's its purpose. You know, when we meet together and we fellowship with one another, and when we pray for one another, and whenever we do these things, and when we have true Christ-centered vulnerability, that's when we truly glorify the Lord by yielding to His stone-shaping hands. Amen. I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again. The way that you grow spiritually is through the Word, prayer, and community. Not Word and prayer, not Word and community, not prayer and community, not each one individually. It has to be all three. That is God's ordained way for us to grow spiritually. That's the way God grows us, not only into a structure, but as the text says, into a holy temple of the Lord. See, that's what we're growing into. A temple. Look at verse 21. Holy temple in the Lord. Set apart. A set apart temple built for the worship and glory of God Himself. See? Through the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ as the cornerstone, and with us as the stones being held together by the mortar of the blood of Jesus Christ, we become a home for God Himself. It's like God is building through His church a tower between heaven and earth, a dwelling place for God. It's an incredible thought. Now, Bible scholars, who could think of any other tower that tried to bridge heaven and earth in the Bible? Think of the Tower of Babel, right? But the difference between the counterfeit Tower of Babel and the real thing that God is building is the builders of the Tower of Babel, they strove to build a temple so they could go up to heaven. See, God is building a temple so He, God, can come down to earth and dwell with us. See the contrast? See the difference? not so that we can be pulled up to go up to heaven. He is building a temple through his church so that he can be a dwelling place with us here on earth. Amen. Now, the question I want to ask you this morning is, are you a stone? Are you a stone that has been added to the temple that God is building? Ask yourself this question. Put this question before the Lord this morning. Am I a stone set on top of God's foundation? Because we know it. There's a lot of other foundations that we can be set upon in this world. There are a lot of other structures to be a part of. But will those structures keep you safe and secure when the storms of life come? Is your marriage built upon the foundation of Scripture? Is the way you handle your finances built on the foundation of Scripture? Are your gender roles built on the foundation of Scripture? How about your ethnicity? Is your ethnicity built on the foundation of Scripture? How about the way you spend your time? Is the way you spend your time built on the foundation of Scripture? I mean, could you even tell me what Scripture says about each of these subjects? I mean, if you can't tell me what God says about each of these subjects, how will you know if these areas of your life are built upon God's foundation or some other foundation? You won't know. See, it's submitting to the doctrines of the prophets and the apostles that gives evidence to someone being a Christian. It's not a one-time sinner's prayer. It's not a walking down the aisle and repeat after me, these types of things. No, that doesn't make any mark of a Christian. That just makes someone who said a prayer. The true mark of a Christian is someone continuously, day after day after day, submitting. Like in Acts 2, they keep on devoting themselves to the doctrines of the apostles and prophets. See, it's devoting themselves to that doctrine that helps them and us to see the fruits of salvation. Are you devoting yourself to the teaching of the apostles and prophets? Are you devoting yourself to the teaching found here in Holy Scripture? Are you built into God's temple? Or are you built into some other temple? Are you attached to the cornerstone of Christ? Are you attached to something else? Christ or the world? Which is it? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it the counterfeit Tower of Babel? See, because you're on top of some foundation. Which one is it? You're attached to a cornerstone and some other stones. The question I want you to ask yourself this morning is, what stones are they? What stones are they? Are they other Christians? Are you attached to them? Are they the church? Or are they some other stones on some other structure that was built by some other God? See, community group starts this Tuesday night. That's what community group is all about. See, we just don't meet on Tuesday night for the sake of meeting and having fun. Now, granted, it's those things, and I enjoy that. You know, I think we all enjoy that. But it's more than that. Much, 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 much more than that. There's a reason for this. A spiritual reason. A significant reason why we meet in community groups. We meet to be chiseled. We meet to be pushed together as stones for the temple of God. That's why we meet. Because it's only in community with other believers will God continue to grow you spiritually. Now look, as your pastor, I cannot be more serious about this. If you do not faithfully attend community group, I assure you, if you're not faithfully in community with your church, with us, Christ Church Abbeville, if you're not faithfully meeting with us, besides worship here on Sunday morning, I'm telling you, you're crippling your spiritual growth. You're crippling it. As your pastor, as your shepherd, as your overseer, as I submit to the great shepherd, I am telling you that if you don't experience community with other brothers and sisters of Christ, with us, you're crippling your spiritual growth. I don't know how much more emphatically I can say it. It's so crucial. It's so crucial. So please, please come Tuesday night. Please come. It's at 6:00. And look, this, and honestly, for our other locations, we have a bunch of community groups in other locations. God has graced us to be small enough to be one right now. And that's great. It's good. And at the other locations, look, if you're a member of Christ Church, that's an expectation. Now, I'm not saying, you know, perfect attendance or anything. Sometimes things come up. But that's an expectation as a member. That shows us that, wow, you really do want to commune. You really want to commune with us and God's people. So just throwing that out there. This is so important. Because we're being pushed together. And the only way to get pushed together is if we pray with one another. We don't have time. We have an hour and 15 minutes in a service on a given Sunday morning. We don't have time to bear each other's burdens to each other and pray for needs, individual needs, specific needs. We don't have time to do that. We don't have time as much as we, you know, even go out to eat after church sometimes. Oftentimes we don't have time to really seek time to be vulnerable with one another and see what's going on in each other's lives past small talk. That's why community group is so crucial. And look, I know there's some inconvenient aspects about it. It's in the middle of a week. It's, you know, at night you're trying to get your kids ready for school or whatever the next day. You know, you have your routine set in place. But I'm telling you, if you neglect this aspect of your spiritual life, your spiritual growth will be stunted. Now, I know I'm going out on a limb here, and I may sound kind of harsh, but I wouldn't be harsh with you, and I wouldn't take the risk of you not liking me if this weren't important. So crucial. Please, do whatever you can to make it a part. Rearrange some things in your schedule to make this work. That's the only way we're going to grow as a structure in Christ. Word, prayer, community. Amen? Now look, this morning, if the Lord may be dealing with you in other ways, you may be asking, you know, maybe I'm not being chiseled and set in place by God. Maybe I'm not feeling his rough mason hands chiseling me and forming me. Maybe I'm not a part of what God is building. But I want to be. What do I do? What do I do? Go to Christ. Run to Christ. Run to the stone that was rejected by men. Run to the chief cornerstone. Ask Jesus to connect you and to unite you to this glorious temple. He'll do it. He'll include you in the holy temple of the Lord. Christ puts out this call and he says, come to me, all you who are burdened by the excessive weight of your sins, and I will give you rest. Yoke yourself up to me, and your burden will be light. Run to me, and I will in no way cast you out. Run to him to be included in the temple that God is building, the church. And look, if you're already in the church and you don't experience a vital connection to Christ or other Christians in the church, then look, ask for his help. Pray. Seek the Lord. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me to give me a connection with those that are in the body of Christ that I meet with every Sunday and worship with. There's no category in the New Testament church for those that just stay at home all week and read their Bibles on their own. There's no category for that. These guys met all the time. They had to meet all the time. They were being persecuted. They were being marginalized. They were being ostracized. They were being killed. They were being beaten. They needed each other. The same is true today for us. We need each other. Let us not neglect meeting with one another. I know we meet here today, but we need to meet more. It's crucial. We need that. Ask the Lord for help, but at the same time, don't be passive. You need to also be sure that you are walking worthy of your calling to which you've been called. That means making yourself available. That means coming to Christian Life class every week. That's starting up this week again. Come to Community Group this Tuesday. Come to the Christ Church Festival next month at Girard Park, September 10th. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is good. And with the Lord, with His help, and with our due diligence, we will be built into a holy temple of the Lord, glorifying Him forever.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Christ Church. To hear more, subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit our website at wearechristchurch.com.